This COVID time has been so hard on many different industries, but I think the restaurant industry particularly has been hit hard. And I mean, we here on WGN have talked about it so often, and about restaurants shutting down and finding out ways to, in order to operate. But something I hadn't even considered, and maybe it's just because I just don't think this way, but restaurants potentially asking their insurance companies to help cover some of the costs of losing all that business. Some have been successful, some have not. Let's talk with Neil Gainsburg, founder of Gainsburg Law. He joins me now in the studio. Neil, how are you doing here today?
Doing good.
I guess I just don't have the legal brain for this sort of thing, but it is interesting. I mean, law, I know that insurance cases are different in every single sort of state, but here in Illinois, restaurants, if they have insurance for their restaurant, should they be able to ask insurance to cover some of the bill for them?
Yes, that's the purpose of insurance. Insurance,
right?
What you think of insurance is, you know, your typical car accident. Somebody runs into your car. You definitely should be able to make a claim with their insurance company, and they should pay for the damages to your car.
Right.
Here, a business like a restaurant has insurance for loss of income, meaning that if something happens and they can't operate their business or their restaurant, they would expect their insurance company to step in and to pay that difference of what they lost. That's what a loss is. So in this case, the coronavirus hits, COVID hits. The state, the governor shuts down the restaurant, says you can't operate. They think that's a loss. I can't operate my business. I can't make income. I have coverage for business income. Just like if somebody rear-ends your car, you have coverage on your car. You expect somebody to pay for your car. They expected somebody to pay for their income they lost because the restaurant was shut down.
Do you see a lot of restaurants asking their insurance companies for money?
Yes. There has been many, many restaurants, especially the bigger restaurant groups, have brought claims against their insurance companies for these business policies seeking business income loss. Not because their business suffered the typical catastrophe or loss of like the fire.
Right.
Or somebody stealing all their stuff or the oven exploding.
Right.
That didn't happen, but their restaurant nonetheless was shut down and they suffered a loss. So they tried to claim losses under their policy coverage.
Does it come down to how the insurance policy is written? Because obviously, I don't think anyone really, and maybe we should have, anticipated something like this, like a public health emergency. Do many of these insurance, you know, agreements have public health emergency written in the language?
No, a lot didn't anticipate a pandemic.
Right.
However, there are some provisions in insurance policies. There is a virus exclusion.
Oh, really?
Yes. In many business policies, it says if something is related to a virus, then it is excluded unless there's physical damage. But like the virus situation has been sort of anticipated. There has been some sort of virus if that's affecting stuff. So some of these policies do address it. But the general coronavirus pandemic where the state shuts down your restaurant, you can't operate even if you want to. I don't think that's really been anticipated in these policies. But insurance companies and their corporations have tried to anticipate losses similar to this.
And how successful are restaurants in getting money?
Restaurants have not been, from what my experience is and from what I've seen, especially in Illinois, they have not been successful.
Most
cases have looked at what the policy says. And when you're interpreting insurance contracts or insurance policies, you interpret it based on like a contract. What is written?
Mm-hmm.
You interpret the words, the ordinary meaning of the words. And every one of these provisions, when you talk about business income, talks about physical loss, an actual physical, again, a fire.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody stealing your property, the oven exploding. It doesn't talk about just your business being shut down because of a pandemic or because of a state closure. There's some sort of physical aspect to the loss. And the courts pretty much, not all of them, some judges have said otherwise, have said, we don't see any physical damage here. Therefore, there's no coverage.
Interesting. But someone could argue that the physical tape that the governor put over the doors to close them for a little bit or certain specific municipality leaders or whatever the case may be was a physical damage in a way. But they actually want to see, I hate to put it for lack of a better word, rubble to make it something that they say is covered.
Yes, they want to see some sort of physical loss. And that was basically the restaurant's argument is that the government shutting them down meant they had the physical loss of or use of the property. They could not use the property. They could not do their business on the property. They could not operate a business. So that's a physical loss of the property.
Mm-hmm.
And the courts have said, no, physical means, as you said, rubble, tangible, something that you could actually feel, something that you could see, not just some sort of general loss.
Mm-hmm. Is this something that's going to have to work its way through the courts in order for us to get a little bit more sense on what the judicial system feels like this? Is this a state thing? I just wonder, like, if someone gets denied insurance coverage, you know, these restaurants might go out of business. How are they supposed to fight this sort of thing?
So how it works in the court system is that most of these cases are in federal court because the individual restaurants here in Illinois are Illinois-based restaurants. The insurance companies are based out of a different state. It might be Wisconsin, Cincinnati, it could be a different state. So it's a diversity of jurisdiction, which leads it to the federal courts. So most of the federal courts are determining this. And they're right now are on the district court level, the lower level, the trial court level of the federal courts. And eventually it has to work its way up the channel and go up to the intermediate or appellate level. And in that stage of the system or the stage of the judicial system, the courts will make a decision as to whether these policies are covered. But it looks like many of these restaurant groups have, you know, attorneys, and they're ready to fight all the way up the appellate chain, maybe all the way up to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, and that'll be fascinating to see which way that goes. And that would then certainly trickle down to apply to a lot of restaurants potentially. But again, each individual insurance policy is different, right? Like there, or are there blanket, you know, boilerplate language for a lot of restaurant insurance policies? I guess they're all kind of different, right?
Right. I mean, insurance policies have boilerplate language. You know, most like auto insurance policies, whether you get a policy from any of the big insurance companies, they're going to have similar language in it. Boilerplate language, as you said, but there are distinctions in grammar and other sentences that are in there that courts can then use to read the ordinary meaning of the words. And so some insurance companies might say of loss, or policies may say of loss, some may say direct loss, and those types of wording can make a difference as to how the courts rule. So there are several insurance companies that are being sued in this regard for the coronavirus, and some of the policies have different language when it comes to physical loss, and that's why some courts have ruled in favor of the restaurants or the businesses and finding that there may be coverage for a business loss.
Yeah, and I wonder, like, to get a payout or, like, to determine how much of a payout it gets, do they just compare it to previous years at a certain time, what sort of income it was compared to a normal year, and that's the basis they use to try and compensate you that way?
Yeah, I mean, it's an audit, basically, of what your tax returns and what your financial documents show as to what you were earning before the pandemic, and you look at what type of income you expected to get, and you look at past years to see the type of income that was reasonable and ordinary for that type of business. And then auditors will come in there, and the insurance company has their own experts to determine what the type of income should have been expected during the covered period or during the loss.
I know that a lot of restaurant groups might have the power or the money to pay lawyers to be able to fight this. Have you seen mom and pop restaurants or smaller runs that have just shut down that they just don't have the resources to be able to fight their insurance company on this?
Yeah, that is an issue. So bigger restaurant chains that, you know, own many, many restaurants, bigger companies, they do have more resources. So they could fight it. They can go to court and they can go, you know, appeal decisions that are not favorable. And the smaller restaurants, they either have to find a lawyer that maybe gives them a little bit of a break or does it on a contingency basis, saying that the lawyer will take a percentage of any winnings that obtained. But I don't know a lot of lawyers that are doing this on contingency basis because it's a risk. It's a risk for the lawyer to take this, and it's a risk for the business. And most courts, as I said earlier, are just coming down on the favor of the insurance companies because the policies talk about direct physical loss. And here we just did not have a physical loss. We had no rubble, as you said.
So it's really judge to judge on how this gets determined.
At this level, at the district court level, at the trial court level, yes, each judge makes its own decision. And when there's a contradiction, when there's competing decisions, then one will appeal it to the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, the next level up, the appellate level, and they'll make a decision. They'll be binding on all the district court judges. And if the Seventh Circuit, which is the federal district court or federal circuit here in Illinois, Wisconsin, Indiana, has a different decision than the Ninth Circuit out west or the Second Circuit out east, then the U.S. Supreme Court would be the final arbitrator of those competing decisions as to the interpretation of the policy.
This came across my radar because of the Chicago Rosebud chain. They failed, according to this judge, to state a case against its insurance carrier for denying coverage for the business income it lost. When they say failed to state a case, is it just simply they failed to make the case, the argument? Or was there something else at play in this case from what you know?
Yeah, basically they could not prove that their policy of insurance provided coverage for the loss. So that's basically what the court is saying. It was on a motion to dismiss. The court had the insurance policy as part of the pleadings, the documents that are filed before the court. So the court could rule based on what the insurance policy says and interpret the insurance policy language on the pleadings level and determine whether there is a legal basis for the restaurant's claim.
I know a lot of people must be listening and saying, I mean, come on, give these restaurants a break. Clearly, this was never foreseen in a certain way, and it's obvious to people that that's why they've lost all this income. Is there some, though, I imagine some concerns from the judge's perspective is, yeah, okay, you feel that way, but you can't often do that. I mean, you can't just, you know, say, all right, fine, that you're right, that's the case, because potentially restaurants could argue other things, or it could open up the doors for people trying to, you know, find other loopholes in insurance. And you kind of have to go by the letter of the policy in order to kind of uphold the entire insurance relationship with some of their clients.
Yes, not all losses are covered.
Yeah.
That's why we have 30, 40 page insurance policy documents that have to be read. There's exclusions in them. There's a lot of exclusions. There's a lot of different ways that a loss that a business may suffer is not just not covered.
Yeah.
And that's how insurance companies remain in business. They don't insure everything. You think you go out there and you buy insurance, and typically for the consumer, yes, they're going to buy insurance on their car, and there's a car accident, it's going to be covered. But if something else happens, there's a windstorm or something like that, an exclusion may apply, and there may
right.
be other issues in how insurance was purchased that may stop insurance from covering stuff. So not everything is automatically covered. There's a lot of issues, legal, practical, public policy-wise, that go into the creation of an insurance relationship between an insured, a business, and that's why sometimes there's no coverage,
Neil,
based on that terms.
Yeah, how long do you anticipate some of this taking? Because, I mean, a lot of restaurants can't just, you know, they're still suffering in many ways. This Delta variant has really harmed restaurants just as they were kind of getting back into the swing of things. This could take some time.
Right. I mean, there may be some restaurants that have no recourse at this point. There's limitations in these insurance policies. You only have a certain period of time to bring an action or a claim or to go to court. And if they haven't done it by now, since we're in year two, pretty much 2.5 years, I would say, of COVID, that they may not have any other recourse now. They can't claim now 2.5 years later that they've lost stuff. They may be time barred because you have a certain period of time that a restaurant must act on a claim, file the claim, go to court if necessary.
All right.
But for these other cases, now that there's competing decisions, conflicting decisions, it's going to take a while to get up the appellate level. It could be a year, it could be 2 years. And if it goes to the U.S. Supreme Court, it could be several years before some of these restaurants that have filed claims, filed suits, and are waiting to hear whether they will have a viable claim, get a ruling from the final arbitrator or final court on their claim.
All right. GainsburgLaw.com, GainsburgLaw.com. What sorts of work do you do, Neil?
A lot
of insurance stuff?
Yes, I do insurance work. I represent policyholders and first-party claims. I also represent third-party claims. I represent people been injured in accidents, people who have property damage loss, people who have life insurance claims. I usually represent individuals, people, victims of some sort of catastrophe, unfortunately, and they need to make a claim against a business or insurance company, and they have been denied, and we are out there to help the little person,
yeah.
the victims of this.
Yeah, and I imagine that's important, right? Because this is not a world that is navigable on your own, right?
No. If you ever suffer a loss, whether it's just a car accident, whether you fall down somewhere at a business or something like that, you should always, or whether you get hurt on the job, you
right.
should always seek an attorney to make sure that your rights are protected, because the law is not easy. The law is complicated. The insurance companies, they know what their rights are.
Right.
The businesses know. They have attorneys on staff. They have people to make, you know, the rules that they want followed.
Lots of people often.
Lots of people. You individual person who's going through this victim first time, you don't want to be dealing with a big insurance company, a big business by yourself. You want an attorney to be there to protect your rights, to make sure justice prevails for you.
Yeah, it's important stuff. GainsburgLaw.com. But we brought you on for your expertise today and really appreciate you sharing this information. Okay, Neil?
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
For sure. Okay.